Romans 7, verse 14, through Romans 8, verse 13. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am made out of flesh, sold into sin's power. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin that lives in me. So I discover this principle. When I want to do what is good, evil is with me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, to the law of sin. And may God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
So Teresa and I are on the porch, and she says, "What are you preaching on?" And I said, "Well, Romans 7 and 8." And she started reading Romans 7, and she said, "I don't know why you would take on Romans 7, because it's really a difficult chapter. And if you've done any reading of Scripture, you would have to agree with that Romans 7 is really hard to understand." Now, without this being braggadocious or arrogant sounding, I will say this about that, that the Holy Spirit has indeed gifted me to read Paul. Not me, but he has gifted me to read Paul. And I'm able to ferret this out. In fact, I'll tell you when I thought I had the message already. And last night, I was up having my, at 1 a.m., I have a snack. I have bacon and Greek olives. Usually in the middle of the night. That's a great way to stabilize blood sugar, by the way. If you have an issue with that, like if you wake up in the night and you can't get back to sleep, it is nocturnal hypoglycemia. That means your blood sugar has dropped. So eat something with a good saturated fat in it, and both Greek olives and bacon provide that for me. So anyway, I'm up having that snack, and while I'm sitting there, the Holy Spirit opened up Romans 7 for me. And, you know, I've been studying this for the better part of my life, I guess, these two chapters. And I said, you know, I finally understand Romans chapter 7. And I think it's going to be helpful to all of us, because let me ask you a question. We've been talking about conformity to the image of Christ, that Paul ends up there at, in Romans chapter 8. He says, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son so that he is the firstborn among many, many brothers. Now, we are destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're destined to be his image bearers. All right? Got it? Now, we've talked about two ways to be image bearers up to this point. We've talked about the internal ways to be image bearers, like the behind-the-scenes things. Like, what are they? Remember? Forgiveness in all circumstances. And secondly, to remain loyal to him in all circumstances. Now, those are image-bearing conformity things that really can go unseen many times. That's like an internal environment. But how about the external? How about behavior? How about behavior as being an image bearer? And behavior, what people do see as being conformed to the image of Christ. How do you do with that? Do you struggle with that? Do you find that to be an issue? You know, we heard a lot of prayer requests this morning. And as you know, I practice alternative medicine, and I deal a lot with the human body. And are we the prayer request that we heard this morning? I want to make sure that this is crystal clear. The prayer requests that we heard this morning are about the physical requests that we had. Are about people that are under the tyranny of their bodies. Okay? Either in one of two ways. Either behavioral or disease. Right? Do you ever feel like you're at the whim, or you're a prisoner? And we are. We're a prisoner of the body. This is what God has given us to carry our minds and our souls and our spirits in. And yet, do you struggle with making that body do what it's supposed to do as far as behavior, as far as being an image bearer and being conformed to the image of Christ? Is that a struggle for anybody? Or do you have it down? And secondly, are any of you struggling with illness? See, that's the two ways that the body, our physicality, controls us, isn't it? How much of your time and energy are spent trying to deal with illness? And how much of your time and energy are also put into trying to deal with, you know, just behaving in a way that is pleasing to God, behaving in a way that reflects Him, behaving in a way that people would say when they see your behavior, yes, I can see that they are an image bearer. I can see that they are a son and daughter of God. Do you struggle with that? Romans 7. And does it help you to know, if you do struggle with it, you're listening to one who struggles with it? But we're in good company, because so did Paul. Paul struggles with this. Now, there's a lot of controversy on how to interpret Romans 7 and what Paul says here. I am going to present what I believe to be one interpretation that I think is on all fours biblically. Verse 14, Romans 7. For we know, that's us, God's people, that the law is spiritual, but I'm made out of flesh. Right, there's a problem. And not only that, look at this flesh. It's sold into sin's power. Oh yes, your flesh, your body, your soma has been sold into sin's power by design. Nathan talked about that this morning, sin. God sold our flesh under sin's power. Now watch this. You want to know, if you want to have the confidence that you are a man or woman of God, and even if you struggle with some things, there's a lot of hope in this passage. There's a lot of grace and mercy in this passage. Paul says, for I do not understand what I am doing. Why not, Paul? Because I do not practice what I want to do. But I do what I hate. You ever have days like that? Have any moments like that? And then further, Paul says in verse 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. There's the distinction. Now, note well the distinction between being a Christian and not being a Christian is articulated perfectly here by Paul. And here it is. You do what you don't want to do. but you want to do something else. Oh, boy, that was really confusing, wasn't it, what I just said? You find yourself practicing, doing, and saying, and behaving in ways that you turn around 2 seconds later, and you look at that, and you say, why did I just do that? Because I didn't want to do that. The thing that I wanted, thank you, Dan. I hope this resonates with you, some of you. I mean, it resonates with me that if I find myself doing what I don't want to do, and I volitionally don't want to do it, but yet I do, but something inside of me, Teresa calls it the check of the Holy Spirit. You ever have that? Bam, you say something, the Holy Spirit checks you right away. That's spiritual growth. That's conformity to the image of his son. And if you have that, Teresa says, treasure that. Treasure every whisper of the Holy Spirit, because you see what has happened there? You just did or said something that you really didn't want to do or say, because what you really wanted to say or do, you didn't do. And the Holy Spirit says, Nope, you did that. And, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of says, you know, I know you really didn't want to. Do you find yourself in this quandary? So did Paul. Is that hopeful? That's the distinction between God's people and people that are not of God. Because Paul, again, in Romans 1:32 says, here's how look at the world today and the things that are being forced to be accepted as normal. Paul says the distinction between people of God and non-people of God are this. He says that the people who are not of God not only want to do these things that God's law prohibits, not only want to, but cheer and applaud others who do it, Romans 1:32. They think it's just great, and they're all right with it, and don't you give me your morality. Don't you dare tell me what you think is right or wrong, because there is really no absolute truth. There's a distinction. People who are not of God are doing exactly what they want to do. People who are of God may at times practice the same things, but the distinction is this: we don't want to. And we find ourselves doing what we don't want to do, and we find ourselves doing what we hate, whereas the world is perfectly fine with it. Tracking? The world does and says these things, and they say, I don't feel badly about that. It's exactly what I want to do. I'm good with it. I'm happy. That's the distinction between God's people and the enemy's people. And the hope for God's people and the hope for Pastor Tim Davis is this. God understands this. Hey, I'm going to take it a step farther. It might blow your spiritual minds. God ordains this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, Nathan. I'll stop there. I won't go any farther with that. But God has sold our bodies under and into the power of sin. For a reason. Verse 17. You don't know how God looks at you? Look at verse 17 is how he looks at us. So now, I am no longer the one doing it. But it is sin living in me. How can we read Jeremiah 31:31, and we read where God says, I'm going to institute a new covenant, and the linchpin of this new covenant is that I will forgive your sins, and I will no longer remember them. I won't remember them anymore. So here's Paul saying, the state that we're all in as people of God is that we find ourselves doing things that we hate, and the mercy and the comfort and the forgiveness and the blessing and the grace that is beyond our ability to comprehend is that God understands. It's no longer you and me, but it is the sin living in us that is doing this. Is that hopeful? Is that not the best news you've ever heard? Because that's how God looks at you. It's no longer you doing it. It's sin living in you that is doing it, and God gets it, understands that. It's no longer I doing it, but it is sin living in me. You know, we've been talking about forgiveness, and sometimes we struggle with forgiving. I'd say that's a fair statement. And sometimes you struggle with forgiving yourself. I now understand, because of that statement that Paul just made, I understand the springboard of Jesus' forgiveness. Let me give you an example. My boys are growing up, Black Locust Farm. They're immature, right? They're little boys. And they would do things that they shouldn't do, but you see, I understood that they were doing those things because they were immature. They were incomplete. So did I condemn them for being immature and incomplete? What kind of a father would that be? Because you see, I understood they're not mature men yet. And so when they do those things, what I say is, well, that's the immaturity in them that's doing this. Tracking? So you see, God, this is a hallelujah message. Because God looks at his people as the little children who are not complete yet, who are immature. And when we find ourselves doing that which we don't want to do, how could we serve a God like this, and yet we do? He says, it's the sin living in them that is doing it. It's not them. Can that be possible? Can we have that kind of mercy and grace? Can this help you? Can this get rid of some of that guilt? Can it explain your failings? Can it explain why you do things that you... Oh, I look back and it's like, I can't believe. And Paul says, yep, I'm with you. And what you just did was to identify yourself as a man and woman of God. You see, the ungodly, the ones of the world excuse their behavior. Paul talks about that in Romans 2. He says your conscience will identify. Your conscience will either excuse you or condemn you. And the people who are not of God behave in a particular way, and they excuse it. And I don't feel badly about that at all. That's the difference between us and them. Oh, yes, we would hope that our behavior would be better, and it should be. But any other attitude or view of the Christian life is cruel. Cruel. That you think you are going to be able to live a life where you never fall, never do things that you don't want to do. Paul says, well, if that's your situation, you're better than me because, you know, I struggle with this, Paul says. I struggle with it. If you had a house and you're renting a house, here's another way to explain it. and you had some bad tenants destroying the place. Are you going to blame the house? It's not the house's fault. You got lousy renters. Raise the rent. Get them out of there. But see, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying it's sin living in you. You got a lousy renter. It's sin. They've taken the place over. You, as the owner of that house, would not condemn the house. That would be stupid. You would condemn the renters. See, the sin is the, and very, very appropriately, the renter of our bodies. For a reason. For the desire to do what is good is with me. Is it with you? I want to do good. I want to. I find God's law exceedingly magnetic. I love reading scripture. But, Paul says, but there's no ability to do it. Why not? Well, because the renters. Sin is living in there. Now, Paul in Romans chapter 8, and that's why I want you to stay tracking with me. We won't do it today. But Romans chapter 8 gives the solution to this dilemma. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. How many times do you go at the end of the day and you look back and you make that statement? Boy, I wish I had handled that differently. Oh, gee, I wish I had said that differently. You see, but when I reflect at the end of the day, sometimes I'm like Paul and I say, oh, how did that happen? Where'd that come from? And the answer is resounding. It's sin living in your flesh, Tim. And God knows that. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, Paul says here again, I am no longer the one doing it. Is that a hard concept? Is that almost like a cop-out excuse? We're rationalizing bad behavior? I don't know. Is it, Teresa?
No.
Okay, thank you. No, she says. I'm no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin that lives in me. This is verse 20, Romans 7. I'm no longer the one doing it, but is the sin living in me? Verse 21. So I discover this principle. Here's the principle. When I want to do what is good, evil is couching at the door. God says in Genesis. I think he says that to Cain. He says, watch it, Cain. Sin is couching at the door. I love that term. When I want to do good, evil is with me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. I think all of us would say that. Do you joyfully agree with God's law? Is it not the way to experience genuine humanity? All of us would agree? That's what the Ten Commandments are. The Ten Commandments are, this is a portrait in words of what it means to be genuinely human. This is a portrait of what it means to experience life to the full. So all of us who are God's people would joyfully agree with that. Yeah? Well, the world wouldn't agree with that. We agree with it, but the world doesn't agree with it. Verse 23, but I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man, verse 24. What a wretched man I am. And then he says, plaintively, who will rescue me from this dying body that has a tyranny over my behavior and has a tyranny over my health, my disease. Well, why? Because sin's living in there. And while sin is living in that body, it does. You feel like a prisoner, don't you? A prisoner of your body. What a wretched man. Who will rescue me from this dying body? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been rescued from that dying body, from that body that betrays us, from our tongues that betray us, from our bodies that are racked with illness and have insulting effects on our humanity. That body, who is going to rescue me from that? Or am I doomed to be under and a prisoner of this physicality that that would be, if that were true, would it not be a completely hopeless state? Why do people commit suicide? They commit suicide for one of two reasons. And both of them have to do with this. They're prisoners of the body in illness that they see no way out. Or they're prisoners of the body in circumstances and behavior and sin and things that they did that they think are irredeemable. And so they're asking the same question here that Paul asked, aren't they? They're saying, who will rescue me from this body of death? And instead of doing and saying what we as God's people do and say, that we say we thank God that it's already been done, and we just have to actualize that, and we have to understand that, and we have to hang on to it. Instead of that, they say in desperation, no one, the only one who can rescue me from this hopeless human condition is myself, and I'm going to do it by killing the body. Because the body right now has me in prison. I thank God this has made my salvation resonate so deeply with me. This makes me understand when Jesus walked among us, and therefore you can extrapolate out from that God the Father looks at it the same exact way, because John said he's the exact expression of the Father. When Jesus walked among us, I understand his prodigal forgiveness. It's not you. It's sin living in you. And it was the ground for him to be so forgiving, and so for us. And do you know what else it's the ground for? Now here comes the tough one. I'll end with the tough one. You know what else it's the ground for? You forgiving others. Well, God, it wasn't me. It was a sin living in me. So I want your forgiveness. Yeah, but not them. It was really them. It wasn't the sin living in them. Forgive us the same way we forgive others. Judge us the same way we judge others. If we're merciful, we'll receive mercy. Can we look at each other that way? Can you live there with me in that place? where we give each other a pass. Because all of us have been sold under sin's power. With this caveat, for a reason that Romans 8 will explain later. Let's pray. Lord, I pray your blessing on this message. Amen.